Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's for you. Wally Bach is our special guest this hour. He's our good friend, and let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a decorated Marine veteran serving from 1963 to 1968. He received his bachelor's degree in business administration from the University of the State of New York. He is his company, which is called Bach Information Group, specializes in helping companies with publishing practical how-to materials for tightly targeted groups of people. I consider him to be one of the experts on what's going on in the Internet. His latest book is called Net Income, which talks about cutting costs, boosting profits, and enhancing operations online. He also publishes an outstanding newsletter, which we're going to get him to tell you about in just a little bit. And he's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Wally Bach, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim.
And you are moving, aren't you?
I'm moving.
You used to live in the Bay Area, San Francisco.
I did, and I'm currently in Wilmington, North Carolina, looking for places to live. I just signed a lease on my office yesterday.
Congratulations. You're the second member of the Brain Trust that's moved from one coast to the other. Only another one just moved from the right coast to the left coast. You're moving from the left to the right.
But we did that to balance your brain trust, Jim.
Must have been.
I gotta have that balanced brain trust.
I see that now. I don't know how that slipped by me before. 888-822-8255. Folks, that's the number to call. If you have a question about the Internet, if you're wondering what's going on with the Internet, you have something on your mind, a comment you'd like to make, a question you'd like to pose to Wally, if you have something that you'd like to talk about your website, about the effectiveness of your website, marketing your website, developing a website, or anything, any technical question along those lines, or practical question, any marketing question, Wally's one of the experts, and he'd be glad to talk to you. 888-822-8255. Wally, one of the big things that's in the news right now is Melissa.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about Melissa.
Well, Melissa's actually kind of funny. Last Saturday morning, I picked up a couple of notes. You're on my list, so you know I did an alert, a virus alert, which is the only one I've ever done in the history of my newsletter.
Yes, thank you for that, by the way.
And one of the thing about Melissa is that Melissa was a virus that was attached to a document. It was a macro, which is a kind of like mini program connected to an MS Word document.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty slickly propagated. The guy who did it set it up so that it looked like it came from a friend, and that it only set off itself by when you opened the document. And then when you opened the document, it would go and look for a Microsoft Outlook or Outlook Express address book and send emails to the first 50 people there. Mm-hmm. And there were places on Monday morning that were pretty much at a halt from that thing. The government up in Portland, several other companies around the country where this thing was going, there was so much mail moving around that it clogged up the servers and slowed everything down.
So basically, this guy developed a little program, a little mini program, as you said, and emailed it to some people. And they thought it was like if I were getting an email from Wally, and
it said in the subject line an important message from, and then the from was somebody that you knew. So I might get it as an important message from Jim Blasingame.
Oh, so it actually, now see, I didn't know that. It actually put a person's name in there.
Yeah, because it got it out of the address book.
Ah.
And then so
when it got to your email file, it actually found one of your names in your address book.
That's right.
And put it in the email.
Right in the subject line.
Amazing.
It looked like it came from you, and it looked like it had a message from you, and then it said the body copy in the message said, here's that file you asked for, don't show it to anyone else.
See, I was looking for it. I knew about it, obviously, partially because of your notice to me, but I didn't know to look, to be cautious about somebody that I knew. I thought it was just going to say from a friend or something like that, but it was literally a friend.
Yeah, when I put the notice out, we didn't know exactly what it said.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other stories picked it up. Let me shift here for a minute, because there's a real interesting issue here that hasn't been talked about.
Well, let me stop you for a second.
Okay.
Folks, did anybody receive, anybody listening receive a Melissa notice? If you did, I'd like to talk to you and find out exactly what it did to you, what happened. 888-822-8255. Go ahead, Wally.
Well, the neat thing about what happened on the computers is it didn't damage anything.
Yeah.
It clogged email systems, but it didn't damage anybody's computer.
Right.
But here's the what I think is the interesting part of the story here. This particular incident really highlights the tension between security and privacy.
Right.
Because the way they found this clown was that there was something called a global identifier built into his software,
mm-hmm.
which let them identify what machine, you know, who was doing it and so forth. And they got him in 5 days. Now, all law enforcement types are taking credit for that, but it was really an independent programmer named Richard Shea out of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
By the way, folks, the guy that they arrested is named David L. Smith, and they charged him with writing and propagating the virus.
Which is against the law.
Yeah.
Against federal law.
And now, is it officially a virus if it doesn't hurt anything?
What's
the definition of a virus?
There's a bunch of definitions, technical and otherwise. Pretty much we're going to call anything a virus if what it does is propagate, if it kind of grows on its own.
Yeah.
And there are malicious viruses and non-malicious viruses.
That's basically the difference between spam and a virus. If it takes on a life of its own, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. If spam is basically people sending you mail you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And what the real difference with the virus is that they send it mail you don't want, and then it keeps sending.
Right.
Growing.
Right. Okay, folks. I got some more questions for Wally on this Melissa issue. And then we come back, we're going to begin to talk to us a little bit more about this tension between security and privacy. I think that's a real important discussion to make because we're going to be discussing this more and more in the future. 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. It's toll free. It's coast to coast. Give us a call, especially if you have a question for us. If you have a comment you'd like to make concerning our discussion about the Internet and some of the interesting things that are happening in the world of high tech these days, our special guest is Wally Bach. He's our good friend. He's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He is the president of Bach Information Group. We're going to get him to tell us a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But we're talking right now about the virus, Melissa, that circulated. I guess it was, when did it hit? A week ago?
Well, it actually started hitting a week ago last Friday.
Yeah.
And the big hit was Monday morning, a week ago yesterday.
People came in and started getting their email.
Yeah, because it stacked up over the weekend.
Yeah. And especially, you know, I guess that his timing was good, too, wasn't it? Because when you come in and you got a whole bunch of email from over the weekend, maybe, you know, you kind of go through them real quick, and you don't really pay a lot of attention to it. And
I think if that stuff had hit on like Tuesday, it would have been more powerful.
Really?
Yeah, because a lot of times when you've got a lot of email, and your average big corporate person's getting about 170, 200 a day.
Yeah.
They're likely not to open it.
I see. They just let it lay there.
There's just so much stuff. But
so
I think
maybe
if he'd been a day later.
If it came in almost all by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
You know, on the other hand, I think a lot of people who opened it, small business people aren't on networks, weren't using the other programs, so it didn't really have the effect that it might have had otherwise.
Exactly. And so you think this hit primarily in the big organizations?
Absolutely. Government primarily, I think. Really.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely nothing to back that up except the few people that I talked to.
Well, and I think you're right, because as I've read the reports on this, I think that bears out what you're saying. But let's finish up saying what it did. It actually took on a life of its own. It emailed 50 people in your top 50 people in your address book.
You had to have Microsoft Outlook or Outlook Express.
Right, and it mailed the top 50 or just random or.
Actually, I'm not sure about that. I've heard reports both ways.
Now, when it emailed them,
it's the first 50.
When it emailed them, what did happen when they got that email? When they got the second email?
Well, it sent out an email, and the email was just like the one that you got.
Oh, so you
it had the attached the same attached file. It did the same trick with the address book.
What was the deal with the pornography sites, though? Wasn't there something involved there?
I think what we're going to find out is this was originally done to promote a couple of porn sites.
Oh.
It was intended as a promotion, a piece of spam, basically.
Right.
That self-propagated, and it really had some unintended consequences.
Now, is that illegal, spam that self-propagates?
Well, the law, as I recall the wording, talks about being malicious. So mm-hmm. any virus, by definition, is malicious.
Right.
Because it has the potential to clog the system.
Mm-hmm.
Spam is a different game because it's kind of hard to prove that it's unwanted sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know that it's unwanted. But
all my spam is unwanted, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know, and all of mine is, too. But try proving that in court. Which
right.
Is
no, I agree with you. Let's move over to your concept, which I liked, and you called it the tension between privacy and security. I'm not sure if you did it before, but regardless, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, when you go on the net, practically, you're on a computer and you're going around the net, there's a trail. There's always a trail.
Mm-hmm.
And the privacy advocates, the ones on the far end of this are really rabid on this. You know, anything that will identify you without your prior knowledge is bad. And I think that's a decent philosophical position. The problem is that it's not a situation that works well with technology.
Right.
On the other end, you've got, at the very far end, you've got the rabid law enforcement types.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to identify everybody doing everything at every time. And that's equally rabid and I think equally off base. But the core of that is that if you've got something like this Smith without the ability to follow the technological trail, we might never have found him.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, we found him in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to make an aside here. The guy is still a suspect.
Right.
And given my experience of law enforcement in the internet era, yeah, we may find out that he's innocent and was really somebody else.
Right.
You can pretty well expect a show trial on this one.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Yeah, they're gonna be proving a point on this, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Wally, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. We've got some more things to talk about with Wally, some more interesting internet issues. I'm going to ask him his opinion of something that's called technology convergence. And we're also going to get him to tell us about some great sites that he knows about. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Wally Bach. Stay with us, please. We are back. 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And we're talking to Wally Bach about some of the interesting things that are going on in the internet, in the world of high technology these days. And we've been talking about the Melissa virus. We're now talking about how do you prevent something like this from happening without which creates a tension between, as Wally says, between privacy and security. And I want to get Wally to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But Wally, before we do, I want you to tell our audience where they can find you online and how they can order your newsletter.
Actually, they can find me online on the website, which is at www.bockinfo.com. Or, this is new, Jim, www.wallybock.com.
Okay. And tell us about the newsletter.
There's actually four newsletters. Briefing Memo, which is the big fat one, is one of the subscription letters. There are also three tips letters for small business, for retail, and for business information. And there's Monday Memo, which is the free one that we were just talking about.
Yep, I get that every Monday.
And you can sign up for that one on the website.
And at either one of the websites?
At either one of the websites.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for that, Wally. And folks, even though he's moved from the left coast to the right coast.
Well, he hasn't moved yet.
In the process of moving. Okay, I'm staying correct. Even though he's in the process of doing that, that's the beauty of the internet is that it's in cyberspace, and that's your address regardless of where you live or where you are, isn't it?
That's right.
That's amazing.
And that's one of the reasons that I could do what I'm planning to do here.
Exactly. And folks, these are just examples of the virtual marketplace that's out there that that you need to, I want you to pay attention to, and decide how you want to plug into that. If you want to plug into it full bore like some people do, which they have only a virtual presence in the marketplace, and some people have both, which is like me and a lot of you folks. Let's go back and did you have any more comments that you want to make on what you call the tension between privacy and security?
No, I just think it's something for folks to watch. There's increasingly going to be ways to track you and what you do, and increasingly you're going to have to be careful about which ones you allow and which ones you don't.
Well, see, that happened to me recently. I have, you know, you for some reason you go to a website and you visit it, and then not too long after that, you start getting some email from that website.
Oh, yeah.
And you say, wonder what caused that. Is that a coincidence or what? And I don't think so.
Sometimes it is a coincidence, but most times it's not.
Yeah.
And
so how do they know,
Let's shift this to something that people can use.
Okay.
If you're going to put a website up and you want to send people worthwhile information about your business, I think the way to do it is to let them make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets Monday Memo if they don't sign up for it, for example. And that goes out to a few thousand people every week, and those people get to hear about what I do, as well as get something of value. Now, if I were just sending that to people, it would be spam. Mm-hmm. As it is, everybody on the list has asked for the letter.
Mm-hmm.
That's real simple to do. It keeps you out of the problems. The other thing that that I really suggest is a policy that you don't resell your email address.
Yes, don't sell your list, folks.
Because where I think we're going on that is toward a standard that is much more like the European standards.
Which is what?
Where people basically own their own information.
Mm-hmm.
You in England, for example, you can't sell mailing lists like you do here.
Hmm.
It's illegal.
Is that right?
And the email standards for the European community have turned out to be very much like that.
And you think the United States is going to move in that direction?
I don't think we're going to have a choice.
Are there people doing some research on that to see if that's what
there's actually a major conference between governments looking at our various privacy laws relative to email. You know, on the one hand, you're going to see that. On the other, you're going to have people always pushing the envelope. There are going to be people sending this stuff regardless of what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're due for that for a while.
What about credit card fraud?
Well, there's a lot more of it off the net than there is on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can start with that. I think one thing about credit card fraud is you're less likely to have it if you deal with places you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about websites, if you're visiting them, you need to make sure that they're reputable. Well, how do you do that? Well, they're real businesses. You know, they should have addresses. They should have other ways to contact them.
Don't give your credit card to people that you absolutely never heard of anything about them. Would that be a good?
I think that's my line is don't give your numbers to people strange to you.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't do it if somebody walked down the street and said, "Hey, I got this thing I want you to buy. You know, give me your credit card."
Mm-hmm.
You'd look at them and say, "Hell no, I'm not going to do that." But people do it on the net all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Walking into a virtual store is not the same as walking into a physical store.
Right? Aren't there some seals though of approval type thing that you can identify on the websites? Aren't there some?
There are some. So far, they have been either ineffective or expensive for small business.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a new one that's just come out through the Council of Better Business Bureaus. And I haven't had the time to research that yet. They claim to be sliding scale.
I see.
But I mean, you were talking about, you know, people paying $10,000 to set up these things.
Mm.
You know, a few months ago, and
most small
businesses don't have that kind of money to use.
No, that's exactly right. All right, folks, it's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Wally Box. Mark, our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And when you go there, that's where you can find out more about Wally Bach, who's our special guest this hour.
Right.
Wally is listed in the Brain Trust section. Just go to the Brain Trust section, and you find a little bit out a little bit more out about Wally, including links to
his
website.
They have to trust that we all have brains, right?
That's right. That's one thing I check out first. I do check it out before you get to join, before you're invited to join the Brain Trust, Wally. Now, a minute ago, I said something about high tech, and you told me I don't need to call it that anymore.
I don't want to call it that anymore. I've decided that calling it high tech makes it seem like it's magical, mystical, and far away. And
I see.
I've started to call it business technology.
Business technology. Let me write that down.
I'm getting serious about that because our language determines a lot about how we think.
Yeah.
And if you got, you know, people out there running businesses from day to day and they think it's high tech, then it's not what they do.
But how does that square with the technology that's not business? That's the same technology.
Well, I think it's what we're interested in is how we use various kinds of technology for business.
You're right.
And so you can take the web and talk about the web all you want, but what we're doing on this show is talking about how you use the web in business. How you use it for information, how you have your own site. That's business technology. We can talk about computers, but computers themselves aren't of interest to most small business people except the ones in the computer business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you use, you know, QuickBooks and integrate it with online banking and stuff like that, that's business technology.
I got you. All right, I'll take your meaning. Tell me about, you said you have some great sites that you want to tell us about.
Well, I got one that I just, in fact, wrote my next small business tips letter. And one of the sites that we're recommending in that is something called trip.com, T-R-I-P.com.
I've been there.
And their slogan is everything about the trip except the stress. But they have got some really nice features. They've got a good planning feature and so forth. But here's the one that I like. They got something called Flight Tracker. And the way Flight Tracker works is that you can set up an email notification to anybody who's got an email address that tells them either when you land or like a half an hour ahead of time.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty neat.
So Linda, who cares about when I land and the fact that I guess there was all the big parts stuck on right.
This is your significant other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or yeah, God, I hate that term. Anyway.
Spouse equivalent?
I don't know. Let's just
go ahead.
Just say the center of my universe.
I see. It's okay. Not to be too dramatic.
Not to be over dramatic. Yeah. So I can get into maybe San Francisco when I fly back to the West Coast. When my plane lands, there's an email that hits her box that says the plane was there safely.
What?
I may not, you know, get to a phone or be able to call for another half hour. You know how that goes.
So wait a minute. You set it up so that when the plane lands, it sends her an email?
That's right.
How about that, folks? Now, I didn't know that.
Now, here's another way to use that, though.
Yeah.
And I did this last week flying down to Florida. There was somebody supposed to meet me at the airport. And what the email does for them is it alerts them a half an hour in advance.
Hmm.
When the plane's a half an hour out, bing, the email goes, it hits their box. They get in the car and drive down the airport.
I'll be darned.
So it's good. And there's a lot of other good features on the site as well. They've got a nice little newsletter with both travel tips and...
Have you actually ever bought a ticket, planned a trip and bought a ticket from one of those online sites?
Do it all the time.
You do it all the time?
All the time.
See, I've tried to do that, but for some reason I haven't been happy about it. Maybe I'm not completely weaned from my travel agent, but...
Well, actually, more often than not, as you say that, I answer in the affirmative, but that's not really true. What I tend to do is research there and then buy on the phone.
Okay, now, I'm glad you told me that because that makes me feel better. That wasn't the question I asked you, though.
I know, and I
asked you, have you ever actually consummated a ticket deal or worse to that effect? And so the answer would be...
And I have, but I don't do it all the time.
Ah, okay. So I wondered about that. I thought maybe it was just because I was being dumb or something. I didn't know
how
to do it.
Well, it may be, but, you know...
Don't give me a break here, Wally. Don't throw me a bone or anything.
One of the sites that I like for that sort of thing is Microsoft's Expedia site.
Yeah.
We know that Microsoft wants to run every business in the world.
Yeah.
And this is their travel agency.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a program called Fare Tracker that alerts me when there's good fares, let's say between the West Coast and Wilmington.
So in other words, you've told them where you're likely to be traveling on a reasonably regular basis, and if something like that pops up, they let you know about it.
Yeah, and in fact, I got an email yesterday morning that is giving me a fare that's roughly half of what it would be normally.
Now, see, I like that. That's a good idea. I'd like to. And what's the name of that site?
That's Expedia. www.expedia, E-X-P-E-D-I-A, .com. It's Microsoft's site.
I really hadn't planned on talking about Microsoft today, but I don't know why, because I am interested in that issue. We just got about 30 seconds before we go to a break. Have you got anything quickly you want to say about Microsoft and what's
Microsoft
going on?
Microsoft wants to own the world.
They really do. They seem to. That seems to be the truth, doesn't it?
But since they're not going to be able to do that, I think Billy is due for a certain amount of frustration on that issue.
Oh, I don't think he's due for it. I think he's already having it. I think that's been going on now for, I think, since about the 1st of December, because, as you know, we've been tracking that issue on this show. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our good friend Wally Bach is our special guest. When we come back, we've got a couple more things we want to talk about concerning business technology, not to be confused with high tech. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Wally Bach is our special guest. Wally, I'd like for you to give our audience one more shot at how they can contact you.
We'll do www.wallybock.com.
All right. And if they get there, they can find out about your newsletters, they can find out about buying your book, they can find out about how to email you, all that stuff.
They can do all that stuff. They can with a click of a mouse,
I recommend you check it out, folks. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Wally, let's talk about convergence, technology convergence. And one of the things that I've mentioned in my audience a while back, when I was traveling the last time, I was sitting in my hotel room, one phone line in the hotel room, and actually this one actually had two, believe it or not, which I think is a shape
starting
of things.
To see that more.
That's the shape of things to come, exactly. The one phone line was being used by my little black box that allowed me to do my show the next morning from the hotel room, while the other phone line was being used by my laptop, where I was getting my email while I was holding my cell phone in my hand, talking to my office on my cell phone. Now, that is sort of a rudimentary convergence of technology. But real convergence, in my opinion, is when I instead of having three or four boxes, I have one or two boxes, and then ultimately one box.
And you can do that today.
Yeah.
You got to work at it a little bit.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, really, we're coming into the third stage of innovation here. Anytime you get a technological innovation, the third and the final stage is the part where the technology gets inside other devices.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to see now is networking and other stuff showing up. So that you can go out and buy a Nokia cell phone, this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
that will let you get your email and digital pages.
Hmm.
Now, think about this. We're going.
That converges three components of technology.
Basically three components in one little thing that's about a little bit bigger than the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
That'll sit on your hip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a whole different game from, having a pager, having a cell phone, having a regular phone, having a laptop, and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think we talk a lot about convergence as if it's a unique phenomenon, but it's
right.
been true with every major technological shift. We have started out with different components. The components work independently. We put them together. Ultimately, they get put in the same package. Eventually, the technology disappears inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen here. It's already happened with computers. What it hasn't happened with is a network.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in a speech, about a year ago, and a guy was telling about how he'd been in the same hotel about 15 years before, and he heard a speaker say, someday there's going to be more than, a million computers on Earth. And somebody in the back of the room laughed and said, well, if that's true, there'd have to be one in every door. And he held up the key card with a magnetic strip that'll, read the date code and lock you out of your room if you're over date.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Yeah, it's going to be on your hip. And the big deal that's going to drive that is not Microsoft. It's the AOL Netscape Sun project, because that's exactly why AOL went after that deal.
The cross-platform programming?
Cross-platform programming.
Java.
Java's probably going to be because Sun's in the game, Java or Jimmy are going to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the important part for your small business folks is, hey, today you can buy two devices instead of four.
Yeah.
A year from now, you're going to be able to buy one.
Yeah, that's the convergence.
Make all this go.
I agree with you. Wally, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Boy, what a powerful hour we've had. Thank you very much. Once again, you've done a great job.
Thank you, Jim.
See you later.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'm Arnold Sano.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.